Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. This week, we're catching up with Kelly Flanagan and getting all the info on what she's been up to since her time on The Bachelor back in 2020. Mike, I'm excited to talk to Kelly. What about you?
Every time that I speak to Kelly, I'm honestly amazed. To me, she is epitome of a boss woman that's also sweet, kind, and sincere. So I can't wait to talk to her.
So you're saying Peter
So I'm
up.
Saying, let's get to these hot takes, bro. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, bud. So I know, we throw around a bunch of hot take topics before the show, but we came upon these two. And the first one is it wrong for people who feel they're capable of getting a specific or a certain standard or preferred standard of what they're looking for in a significant other to date and only hold out for that standard? So basically, they could possibly be foregoing other potential great candidates. Did I make sense on that question?
Yes.
So basically, you have a standard. You have expectations of the person you want to date, the person you want to marry, maybe have a checklist. I know Rachel, has been well documented that Rachel back in the day, back in her 20s, she was a young lawyer, she had a checklist, right? And she wanted to find that guy, that marked all the boxes. And I know men have that as well. So that's basically the question. Should you stick to your guns and stick to that standard that you've set for yourself, or should you explore and maybe find somebody that you may be surprised by?
You know, the funny thing about that question, the first thing that comes to my mind is, if you were to ask somebody that like, if you were to ask your brother or, a girl, ask another homegirl or another homie, just in the privacy of their own home, nothing bad will be said. All my girlfriends would be like, girlfriends as in lady friends, they were like, girl, you should, like, have a standard. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And they would say to all the male friends, like, there's nothing wrong with that. But as soon as you, I feel, say publicly in a public forum, yes, like, they have to make this much money, they have to have this body type, they have to not have kids, they have to not have been married previously, whatever the case may be, I feel like that's when people start to have judgment upon that individual. Same exact person, but they can be saying it in a closed setting with their friends, their loved ones. Some of those same loved ones would shun another person for saying it publicly, and it'd be incorrect. Now, yeah. With that being said, I don't think that you could be like, hey, Life Jenna said this back in 2004, for those that know. You can't be a nickel looking for a dime at the same time.
I'm serious.
Now, for those that don't know, somebody gonna get mad that I say this. But let's say I'm a Walmart cashier, which I was, by the way, so I'm not coming at nobody. So if somebody thinks I'm coming at them, I was a Walmart cashier. I'm not gonna be a Walmart cashier going after Rihanna. It ain't happening.
Now, I mean, you could, just don't get mad.
I do think that I could get it when I was a Walmart cashier. I was a very confident young man, right?
Confidence.
But
level
at the same
10.
Time, if she's like, yo, baby, you gotta make at least $500,000 a year to date her. I don't think there's nothing wrong with her saying that, because she has a certain standard of living and she intends to maintain that standard of living.
I agree, man. I mean, listen, like, when it's all said and done, it's your life. Like, if that's your standard, if that's your preference, like, you're the one that needs to be happy at the end of the day, right? You need to be attracted to the person physically, mentally, and emotionally. And
spiritually, yes.
Yeah, you could hold off for whoever you want. But like you said, I mean, like you mentioned, I feel like sometimes people have or can have some unrealistic expectations. I mean, you have, some men out there who want a 10 in looks, an independent woman, great cook, freak in the bed, caters to basically every single need. And then dude is like still living with his mom, can't even afford to take this woman out to Chili's. Like, just has really nothing going for them. And it's like, okay, man, but what are you bringing to the table? And it goes vice versa, right? Vice versa. It's like, what are you bringing to the table? Like, I think there are levels. And if you're a man or a woman that's wanting to attract a high quality, high valued, and highly wanted significant other,
then start after human being.
Yeah, then you have to raise your level in order to attract that person. Like, don't get mad at the person because they don't want to give you the time of day and isn't necessarily attracted to you like that. Like, it is what it is.
I I was talking to this lady one time, and she was like, Mike, I understand what you guys are saying. Like, you and I've had this conversation with her. And she was like, these guys say that they want XYZ. I am XYZ. And then when I get with them, they can't handle it. And or they don't make her feel comfortable. You know, and I completely understand that aspect to where they're not making her feel comfortable to where she can open up and be like, okay, I'm going to let you take some of the reins on. You're going to make sure you make the money? Are you going to make sure that you do XYZ? Are you going to make sure that you say you're going to do the things that you say you're going to do?
Question. What is the woman saying that she has that the other guys say they want? Like, what are those traits specifically?
Literally everything that you explained. The looks, great career going forward, head on the shoulders, no kids, not married. I don't know, but she presumes that she's a freak in the bed. Everything that you just mentioned. And she says when she gets a guy, they're like, love it at first. And then they automatically are like, no. No, I can't. I don't want this. I can't handle this. This is this. And they don't say I can't handle this. What they do is they become more laid back and lackadaisical. And I completely agree with my homegirl. I'm like, yeah, you don't need to be with an individual like that.
I mean, it sounds like she raised some like insecurities in his world.
Exactly. And so all individuals got to realize, yo, male, woman, you know, stop that insecurity crap. When you're dating someone, if you're trying to date someone that's of high value, you got to, you know, have that self-love within self. Another thing, I know that people talk about men when it comes to his height, you know, his height issue. I have lots of male friends that are not 6 feet tall, so they, you know, they 5'8", they friend zone, right? To me, that's completely unfair. When a woman could do certain things and it's now she feels more comfortable, right? But my friends that are 5'8" would love to feel more comfortable being 6'4", 6'5", or 6'8" and 6'8", you know? And okay. And the woman that do certain things, it's accepted. But if a guy simply wears like platform shoes, it's not accepted. You know what I mean? That's just, to me, it's just crazy. I don't understand. I throw my hands.
I mean, why do you think that's so, you know, unwanted? I'll tell you the truth. I actually asked one of my patients because that came up the other day. Like, I don't know if it was like a commercial or some ad that came up that was for guys who wanted to be taller. So all these, like you said, 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", they want to get up to that 6 foot level. They would wear these platforms in their shoes. But, and I asked my patient, which she was a taller woman. She's probably like 5'9", 5'10". And I asked her, I was like, what do you think about guys wearing these shoes to enhance their height, you know, for you to be more attracted to them? And she was like, yeah, no, just be 5'8", king. Like, be your 5'8" self and just go with that. Like, don't front or king. don't lie about it. Because at the end of the day, what's going to happen, Mike, when they get back to their place and what, he basically what? Takes off the lifts. I mean, he's going to drop 3 inches. That's
terrible.
Have you
seen that episode on Fresh Prince, bro, where you and I are older? Remember, he was in the basement with a young lady. I think it was Gina from Martin. And it was Gina from Martin. And she had contacts, took contacts out. She had nails. She slapped the nails off. She had weave in her hair. She took the hair.
But so is that a double standard then? You know what I'm saying? Like, if women don't want, but then yet they wear, like you mentioned, the nails, the eyelashes, the hair, whatever it is.
Just for the record, for all the listeners, baby, I ain't mad at you. Get your nails done, get your hair done. You know, do you, boo boo. That's all I'm saying. But we have Kelly Flanagan in the house, and I want to talk it out with her and get her takes on this. Let's bring in Kelly. Let's get her thoughts.
Kelly, welcome. It is so great to have you here on Talking It Out today. It's been a while. How you been?
I've been doing really well. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited.
You've been traveling all over the world, jet setter.
Oh, I know. But it's been fun.
You going to let a guy use Sky Miles to get you out?
Exactly. You know what? I have a hard time saying no to things. So when I get invited somewhere, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then my body breaks down. I'm like, this is why I can't keep doing this.
Fair. Make sure I remember that. So, Kelly, here on Talking It Out, we like to ask hot takes, right? And our hot take today, it was a little bit hot, but I would love for you to make it steaming hot. And that sounded bad. But No, not Weston. Try not to be that way whatsoever. First, are you single?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
She's seeing somebody, but it's
She's seeing someone, but it's not official. Exactly. So therefore, you can answer this question without them getting mad.
They're fine. Don't worry about it.
They'll be all right.
Cool. Perfect. Can a person have like a standard, and can they speak aloud to that standard? Like, for example, you come from a prominent family. I would assume certain things ain't gonna fly in a Flanagan household.
Oh yeah, no, that's for sure. But this is the other thing. If you have high standards, I think that you need to set those standards for yourself too. If that makes sense.
We know
what
I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're in a relationship, if you're gonna sit here and being like, I expect this, that, and the other, you better be doing the same exact shit that you're telling them to do.
No, yeah. Like what I was saying before, Kelly, is that, yes, there are levels. So if you're maintaining a certain level or if you're looking for a certain level in a certain individual of the opposite sex, you need to uphold that standard as well. Like, you need to be attractive to that person as well, right? Whether it be financially, looks-wise, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Same sex or opposite sex?
Opposite sex, yes.
I think that goes to almost every different subject, whether it's like, I don't know, like the same financial aspect, whether it's the same like workout scheme, whether it's the same like intellectual level, whether it's the same like
mentorship level, things of that nature.
Yeah.
I like that. It's a good point.
Also, it's just like you have to be on the same level to some degree. And honestly, this is going to be controversial, but sometimes I believe this. I always believe that the guy has to love the girl a little bit more, because I think it just comes to us a little bit naturally. So if you have a guy that looks at the girl like she's God's gift to earth, I think those relationships always work a little bit better. So if you are a girl out there, strive to be the best you could absolutely be.
Did Peter love you more?
I think he liked me. He like looked up to me. Does that make sense? Like, he always like trusted my judgment. He used to say that to me at least.
I'm sure a lot of people look up to you, so that's awesome. Well, yeah. So it comes naturally. I'm gonna pivot and go to that point right there. It comes naturally for women, you feel, to love easier. And so therefore, if a guy loves you a bit more, then it works out just fine.
Yeah.
You know what? I've heard that before. Yeah. I mean,
because I just think it comes to girls naturally. Like, I think that the girl is just like usually more of the caretaker, caregiver. Like, I just think sometimes it comes them a little bit more natural. So if you have a guy who likes the girl a little bit more, I think it evens out the playing field a little bit.
I don't think that that's controversial. I just feel that.
No, what was the initial question? I think I kind of got off topic there.
No, we won't get off topic yet.
So for example, like a standard, like if you, like some women, some men have a checklist, right? You have a checklist of what you're looking for in a man. Like, is it? And some people might rip you for that. Like, you may be giving up opportunities with other great people, great individuals that you may not be considering because, quote unquote, they don't match up to your list. So it's like, is it wrong of you for you to stick to your list and want to have what you want to have rather than, quote unquote, you know, some people might call it settling?
I don't think you should like stick to that. I mean, there's been times where I've dated like really uber smart, successful guys. And then there's like times where I've just dated like normal guys. And
Would
you date a 5'9" king?
Sure. Height's actually never been like an issue with me.
Okay, there you go.
One of my exes was probably like 5'10". He was around that. So
she said height, and then he's 5'10". That's the average height in America.
Well, like, I'm a tall girl. I'm like 5'7". So when you're going
with
to
heels, 5'10", even taller.
Yeah, he used to hide. Kelly,
is it okay if guys wear platform shoes?
I mean, it all depends. Like, if you have the white sneakers that have like a teeny bit of platform, I have no issue with that.
No, we're talking about the insoles. And they bought some insoles.
Like, they put insoles to go from 5'10" to 6 feet. Let's say.
If no one
lifts,
can do them, I don't
they're
mind.
Lifts.
Like, if it makes you feel better, why not?
So I think that's I agree with that, but I feel like so many people will shun the dude for doing something that makes him feel better and gives him a bit more confidence. But
yeah,
he can't shun that woman for her doing something that gives her more confidence. So I appreciate
you
on saying that.
I have no issue with that. But I will tell you something. So when I was like back before the show, there was a guy who I like genuinely enjoyed spending time with. And he was just like a normal guy, but my brothers did not like it. And they went freaking ballistic on me, like ballistic.
Wait, why? Why didn't they like him?
Because he, okay, so like there's a stigma towards certain jobs. And this guy was like a smart guy. He did pharmaceutical sales. Like he didn't really drink, but he was also a, he was like a bouncer at a nightclub in Chicago. Like one of the guys to like come let you in and stuff. So my brother's like, that's all they knew. You know what I mean? They're like, why, like, what are you doing dating one of the door guys at like this nightclub, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I swear he doesn't drink. He's really nice. He's also in pharmaceutical sales. But like, they just couldn't hear that.
Was it more of like a financial thing or just because like that's the occupation? All they hear is they see.
I think it was the stigma. Stigma, right?
I
like being a door guy.
They're probably like, oh, every hot chick that's walking through, he's picking up their number.
It's a
like,
revolving door, Mike, possibly. That's what they
were
thinking.
I kind of agree with your brothers. Now, my homeboys that are personal trainers, they're going to get mad at me, but I think there's like certain occupations to where I'm going to tell my sister to be careful, like personal trainers, bartenders. I would say the bartender over like the bouncer dude. And then a lot of one that girls don't think about, barbers. And like coaches. And the reason is they be getting a lot of single women to come up in their chair cutting their little boy's head. And they automatically like have a different level of like trust. Like,
are
oh my God, my
about,
son loves you.
Wait, like a barber or
yeah,
like
a barber. Like someone cutting
or
your
like
hair.
A hairdresser. Like ones that are usually working on females or males.
That too. Hairdressers, they're in the same category.
I love that response, but I can't necessarily tell you why, but I love that.
Oh
response.
My, Kelly, come on. It's just you and I talking. Brian ain't here right now. What's up? She's like, I'm not going to do it.
Not getting to know it.
No, if you're a barber, a hairdresser, a little league soccer coach, like a little league coach for kids and the single moms right there, bartender, bouncer, and or personal trainer, I'm going to tell my sister to be careful. So I agree with your brothers on that.
All right. We'll see.
I haven't thought about that one. I definitely
I trust your judgment, that. Kelly. If you vetted them out, you know, you asked all the right questions.
This was a while ago.
Looking back, did you make the right decision by letting him go?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. He treated me so well. He was like the nicest guy in the world. I was doing like subconscious things that I didn't even realize I was doing. Like I wouldn't necessarily go in public with him, which I didn't really realize I was doing. He'd be like, let me take you to dinner. And I'd be like, no, like, let's just come over and we'll like cook at my house. So I was doing subconscious things knowing it wasn't going to work out, but I didn't even realize I was doing those things. And my roommates were like, dude, you've been seeing this guy for 2 months and you won't step out of the house with him. Like he was like getting me stretch limos to the airport whenever I'd like, he was so sweet. He was so kind. But I just knew it wasn't it.
Brian, have you done that before?
No, but I want to know like what was it then? Like what was it that just made you drop him?
You know what? There's been two guys in my life that are like that. Well, not him, but there's another guy that came in that was like the perfect catch. Like he was fantastic. He was obsessed with me. He loved me like great on paper. And I just couldn't get into it. Till this day, I still can't explain to you why, because I will be his biggest hype person. I'll be like, that guy's great. He's amazing. I just personally do not know why I did not like him like that.
It's kind of like an X factor. Like some people just don't have that it factor I've experienced something similar. I've dated women amazing on paper, great families, the whole nine. It's just, I don't know. They just don't bring it out of you, I guess. I don't know. It's just something that's missing.
Did you like him a bit, Kelly?
I did. But this is what happened was his buddies, God, I don't want to go into too much detail here, but his buddy, I drove up to him. He lived like 2 hours away. We flew on a plane to like Minnesota for a concert, flew back and then was at his place. And I realized like, I didn't even want to kiss this guy. I had to spend the night at his house instead of driving back to Chicago. So I realized that I was just pretending that I was so exhausted and I just needed to go to bed, and like that my contacts were messed up and I was just like pure exhausted. And I was like, okay, good night. And literally just pretended to sleep.
I'm not gonna lie, I've done that myself. I feel you there. I've definitely done that one. You been there, Brian?
Falling asleep, yeah. Yeah, I just didn't want to partake in any activities. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I think that's like an energy thing.
Yeah. It wasn't even like that. I just was like, I had too much time with him. I was like, okay, like enough with me being like, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Like it just wasn't real. And I was like kind of tired of.
So it was like very superficial?
Kind of on my end. Like he was great. Like he was really great. But I was like, I'm just not feeling this. And so I just. Like the only thing I wanted to do was go home and be in my bed, but I couldn't. So,
ouch! Sucks for him.
He's like married now, so he's good.
Fair enough.
All right, Kelly. So, from your IG, it looks like your life has no shortage of fun. Where are you living right now?
I'm in Miami.
Oh, the 305. That's my hometown.
Oh, I know that. And the reason I know that is because I've been having like so many health issues recently. And I just went to a chiropractor and she looked at me. She's like, why do you look so familiar? And like sometimes when I'm just not feeling well, it's the last thing I want to talk about is like being on the show.
Of course,
and stuff like
yeah.
That. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, oh, I was on a reality TV show. And she was like, oh, actually, she was like, one of those guys, Brian, used to work in my or worked in this building like a couple stories up.
Super small world.
Small world. So what's up with law? Are you still practicing law?
No. So I took a back burner on it. And the reason why is because I've been having so many health issues. And probably like a year ago when I started being like, all right, I need to like just stop everything and just like try to figure out what the hell is going on with me. So I kind of took a step back from that and did more of like the influencing stuff while I try to figure this out. And here I am like, I'm, you know, call it 75% of the time fine. I'm traveling. I'm having fun with my friends. And then 25% of the time I get like hit like a ton of bricks. So that's why I kind of took a step back from law. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever, I might go back into it, but maybe not like with my family's firm. Like I think I could do something else with my law degree. But for right now, I'm not doing law.
Can you speak to that? You mentioned like 75% of the time you're great, 25% of the time hit with a ton of bricks. We know that you've been very open and vocal in regards to Lyme disease. Is that what you're speaking of?
Yeah. So it's just like, and you know, it sets my autoimmune issues off. So the past like week, my entire face was like completely blown up. I'll be like allergic to just about everything. Like it's so many autoimmune things. Like one day it's tired. One day I just feel like complete shit. Another day, like my face is blowing up. Like within the past 2 years, my weight has fluctuated by like 20 pounds within a couple weeks span. Not just by like me eating and, you know, I barely drink. So it's not like a drinking thing either, but it's just like hard to know what's hitting me, when it's hitting me. Like, I just never know. There's no consistency, you know? I just keep getting hit. Like this past week, I've been allergic to something in my apartment. I couldn't figure it out. So like I went and got a new mattress. I've been to the chiropractor. I was getting acupuncture. I was like ripping up my brand new carpet to like put it away. I was like ripping up my couch behind me because there was like feathers in it. Like it's just so crazy how sensitive I am to so many things. And my body just like is so much more sensitive than the average person. So whether it's like me going out with my girlfriends, like their stamina, like staying out and like doing a bunch of fun things is way better than mine. You know, I'm going to wake up that next day and I'm like, I'm not going to move. So right now is just a period of me like trying to truly figure it out. And
when were you diagnosed with it? Like who was the provider that actually found out that you had Lyme disease?
So I went through Igenics and, you know what, since like fourth grade, I've always had weird issues. Again, I have five siblings, so it was like good to kind of compare notes with them, but I've always had like stomach issues and I was like, what is going on? And then when I came off the show, or actually when I went on the show or right before it, I remember I literally looked like 9 months pregnant, and I was like working out for 2 hours a day with the trainer. I was like running 5 miles at night. Like I was super active. I've done CrossFit. I've done it essentially like every workout. And I was like, what is going on with this weight? Like I literally look pregnant, and I couldn't figure it out. And then after the show, I think just like bringing on so much stress from that, not necessarily like a bad way, but you guys know, like it's a huge transition. I think sometimes I had a hard time just transitioning into that. And I think that like also put a lot of stress in my body. And then, just like the scenario, the breakup, the publicity, the show aspect, the fan aspect, I think it just all kind of like knocked me down and drained me. And then finally I was like, all right, this is getting way worse than it has been before. So that's kind of, I think it was in October. I was like, all right, I got to figure out what the heck this is.
This past October 2021?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was pretty recent. Thank you for sharing that as well.
Yeah, I appreciate what do you, that.
Just in caring for you, what are some of the things that you do to to get away from all the bullshit, all the exterior stuff?
Honestly, I like my alone time to a certain degree. I'll go on, like, I have no issue, like, being by myself. Like, lately, every morning I've been waking up, I've been going to the ocean and, like, swimming for 45 minutes by myself. I'll come home, some days I'll do Pilates, some days I'll, like, go on my walks around the beach here, or, like, through Brickell and just kind of, like, exploring new territory that I don't really know. So I think it's just, like, doing things that I love in that aspect, whether it's, like, watching a show. I'm hooked on a new reality show called Life After Locked Up.
Yeah, I know the show.
It's way more dramatic than the show we went on. So,
have you wrote somebody a letter before in jail?
No. Have you?
No, I haven't, but I'm asking. I don't know. Maybe you have.
I don't think that's my nobody. Thing. You know what? But I used to do criminal defense when I was in law school. So I used to actually have to go to the jail and essentially defend people or attempt to. And it was pretty scary.
What was like, the craziest case that you've experienced?
I was working with a guy whose nickname was Crowbar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crowbar.
Yeah. But like, if you would never be able to wear anything like this. So like, I would have to wear things like
turtleneck.
Up here. Yeah. I would have to wear socks that like weren't showing any type of my feet.
Could your hair be out?
Yeah, I could be out, but like I needed every single part of my body covered when I would go through. And then because think about it, they don't really see females. And like one of them asked my professor if like he could stop bringing me. He was like, listen, I haven't like really like seen a girl or like smelt a girl like that. And he was like, I just don't want to deal with it. So I was essentially fired from working on that one.
I have so many thoughts for that, but okay, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. You are a tax attorney, is that correct?
Yeah, we do property tax appeals for commercial real estate stuff. So essentially just cutting taxes on massive buildings.
Oh, I'm definitely calling you out when I do that, 100%.
We don't do residential, though. We only do commercial, so it's like
I'm talking about commercial.
He's talking about commercial.
I'm talking commercial.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah,
I'm talking that's commercial. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were getting into that.
We got to talk offline. Anyway, So I was on your website, kellyflanagan.com, and I was reading some of the resources that you have. I really appreciate that. And so can you explain a little bit to what are some things that people that would like to know more about Lyme disease or what you've learned about Lyme disease?
So I didn't really know what it was, but it affects essentially everyone differently. So my brother, who was super healthy his whole life, he was like a couple months away from being in a wheelchair. Like he was coming to work. So my brothers are also hunters. So I think I've had it my entire life. I think maybe one of my other brothers has, but my other brother, who was completely healthy, he definitely got bit by a tick when he was like hunting at our family farm like a year ago. And it came on to him so strong that like he was trying to walk to work, which was a couple of blocks, and he was like falling and his like knees were deteriorating, like the muscles in him. Wow. And he he like wasn't telling any of us. He's like, hey, something's wrong. But he like had that macho ego thing going on to him where he didn't want to be like, hey, I'm struggling to walk.
Yeah.
Because he just didn't want it to be a big deal. So it's like affected him. With me, it's been more like digestive issues. It's been more like just like blowing up, like thyroid issues, stuff like that. So what I've learned is it just essentially like attacks your autoimmune system, and it affects everyone so differently that it's like hard to really even come to the consensus that it is Lyme. And again, like you could, if you figure out a way, you could, I don't know if, I personally don't think it's controversial that you could like get rid of it, but you could essentially turn off those sensors for that like virus to be running in your system. So people can go into remission. And you know, they just have to be a little bit more sensitive their whole life in terms of the way they live, and can't live like a total slob. Because
when you
then
say turn off their sensors, what do you mean exactly?
So, you know, your body's like filled with a bunch of like different bacteria and viruses and all that stuff. So when you have Lyme and it's like prevalent, like for example, Lyme feeds off of like carbohydrates and sugar and all that stuff. So if you starve your body from feeding the Lyme, like it can go into remission. But if you're like sitting there having like your Lyme super bad and you're going and eating a bunch of chocolate and sugar and all that stuff, like the Lyme's going to get stronger because you're feeding it the sources that it likes.
So have you, like, what other types of holistic practices have you partaken in, you know, to help you with your Lyme disease? I imagine your diet has changed dramatically, maybe to like a keto diet. It's low in sugar or, you know, carbohydrates or something like that.
Yeah. So I've definitely changed diet. I've always been pretty healthy because, again, like, I think this has happened since I was younger, and I always knew that, like, I couldn't go and eat like the Taco Bell and all that stuff all the time because it would affect me so poorly. But the biggest thing that I've seen is actually acupuncture. So like, when I went in the other day, like my face was so swollen. It swells so bad that I get these like massive wrinkles down here because my face just gets so like chunky. Like right now it's still a little bit swollen, but she just like took a bunch of needles and was like sticking me everywhere. And I don't know if that's opening things up or if it's getting into like deeper layers of things that are off, but yeah, it helps me. So that's like one big thing that I did notice. And then I have like lasers of infrared lights, so I'll like have to laser certain body points on me. What else do I have? I have an oxygen tank here. I have like one of those Amazing. Machines that shakes. I have like the works. I have like everything.
Yeah, sound like it.
Yeah. A clinic in your place.
Trying yeah. to tell you. Well, happy to know that you got the works going on. You know, so you're doing everything that you can in your power, which, of course, you are. For anyone yeah. that knows you, I want to get a little bit into Kelly pre-TV, right?
Okay.
Is it fair to say that you come from like an affluent family?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Fair. Okay. Cool. I've just wanted to know, like, how has that twofold question? How has that shifted your perspective? And like, you're such a traveler, you're so accomplished within life. You come from an affluent family. How has that shifted you in terms of your thinking when it comes to just the outside world and those individuals that may not be in from an affluent family? And yeah. then two, what do you want people to know about someone that comes from like affluent family? Because I know a lot of people must, oh, she's beautiful, she comes from this, you know, this, and they kind of almost count you out because of things that were out of your control and because of things that you worked your ass off of.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
No, to be honest, I think I've had the best of both worlds because, one, my mom came from absolutely nothing. She was from Greece, like played with lamb bones as toys, and she is the least like materialistic person you'll ever meet. And then my dad also really didn't come from anything, but he was able to make, you know, a lot of success for himself. So they both kind of had like the foundation of not being like spoiled brats. My dad definitely kind of grew into that. You know, he would like go get his like hair done, his nails done, like loved going to the spa. And then you have my mom who like lives at like TJ Maxx, Ross's, Home Depot, Walmart, like only gets her hair cut at Walmart. Now forces my dad to get his hair cut at Walmart. Like
Walmart
my dad
has
like,
a hair cuttery.
Exactly. Yes,
bro.
I don't even know. I don't even know.
Down here in the Keys. So, It's been great because I've been exposed to things that like people strive for in terms of like going, whether it was like a boarding school. You know, I've met so many people who have just had like really cool upbringings and really great stories. Like a lot of my friends have been from like the Middle East or from China or like, again, all over the world. And I was able to do that because my parents did send me to that boarding school where there's a like, you just learn so much because whether it's like the Korean girls teaching you how to make soup or like the Middle Easterns, like teaching you all about their traditions. Like I definitely learned at a young age just that, you know, people are different and learn how to like respect their differences and like appreciate of it. And you also learn during the way, like what you want when you travel, when you do that stuff. So, I mean, I've been like really grateful, but at the same time, my parents have also put a lot of pressure into me. And I've also seen like where I've grown up in Florida, it's this small community and, a lot of people have had a lot of success that come from that area, but the majority of the kids that I actually grew up with there, their parents raised them different. And I've noticed that like, they're not as hardworking as a lot of other people. So yeah, they might have had the opportunities and seen like a lot of really cool things. But one thing my parents like tried to ingrain with us is like, hey, look, we're not going to do it for you. Like if you want to be successful in your own right, like you better work your ass off and get there. And that's like one of the best things that, you know, I could thank my parents for putting that pressure on us to essentially say like, hey, like instead of like, here's a check, they're like, okay, now go work your ass off and you figure it out.
Like initially, were you upset that they sent you to boarding school? And then after the fact, you were like, you know what? It was so worth it. And I learned so much and I'm actually happier for that.
You know, it wasn't necessarily even my parents. It's like when I'm the youngest of six kids and we're all a year apart, like since fourth grade, I knew I was going to boarding school. And it wasn't like they didn't like push me. They didn't say you have to go. But I think I put pressure on myself knowing that every single one of my other siblings went. And if I wasn't going to be the one to go, it was like disappointing myself. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like my parents were pressuring me to be like, hey, look, you have to go. But when I got there, like, man, sometimes I struggled when I was younger. Like I was a little troublemaker at times, you know, like each dorm had a
really, we can never tell.
each dorm had like a dorm mom. And sometimes like she would be running down the hall and I'd be like, I effing hate this place. Get me the hell out of here. And she'd be like, oh my God, Kelly. And like, sometimes she would see me, we would have to walk to town, which was like a 15-20 minute walk. I was always the one like trying to figure out crafty ways to get in town. There was like an Amish guy with his horse and buggy and I was like hitchhiking on him and my counselor's like in the car behind me like, what are you doing? But yeah, so we always kept it entertaining for her, that's for sure.
You kind of touched on something that I definitely wanted to ask you because being the youngest of six and coming from a prominent family, like a lawyer family, like y'all are, I've done my research in your family. Y'all are some pretty badasses. Like all of y'all own right. Like I think y'all are pretty awesome, right? The things that y'all do. But with that, I know there had to be some dark times, some tough times with the pressure that you put on yourself and just trying to live up to the Flanagan name, I guess you would say. Like, can you explain some of those and how you got through those?
Yeah, my brothers are still hard on me to this day. You know, they have like high expectations for me and my sister. But honestly, I've never like put so much pressure on myself. Like, you know, I've always been the one, I'm the youngest. So I've always just gotten my ass kicked from them, but I've always had my own voice and my own opinion. So if they come at me, like I'm willing to stand up for myself, but I don't know, maybe it's more of a subconscious thing where I just like knew I had to do a lot, but at the same time, like I never put so much pressure on myself where I was like breaking myself down. You know, I was like taking every step of the way. I was never like a big drinker. So when I was younger, I wasn't like making a fool of myself and like being an idiot. Then I was like going off to law school. So what could they not be proud of? they weren't the proudest of me going on the show, but then they got over it. Now they are. But
wait, what did they say when you went on the show?
Oh man. It was like a family feud. One, my mom's like a huge fan of the show and she's big on like, just do everything. So my mom was like, do it, do it. You should do it. And my brothers are like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, don't do that. You're going to ruin your career. You're an absolute idiot. Like, what are you thinking? Like, just down my throat telling me that I'm an idiot every day. And I was like, sounds great.
We'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so, talk about that. I mean, after the show, how has your life changed and how does your brother see you now? I feel like they see you the same.
So they respected me and they're like, one of my brothers was down. I remember he was down my throat and this was like the only time he actually made me cry. Cause usually I'm like not the biggest crier. And he was like, you don't know how this show goes. Like, what about if you go on the show and you get super fucked up and you start making all these like things and you're doing all this? And I was like, I barely drink. Like, how out of hand can I get? Like, you guys know I'm as chill as can be. Like, I'm not the dramatic girl who's like going off every 2 seconds. And I was like, do you even know me? So it like offended me because I was like, how can he even say that about me? Now doing the show, I'm like, shit, it doesn't even matter how I act. I could have been portrayed anyway. But yeah, so my life has definitely changed. Again, I just had the luxury of essentially not going to the office from 9 to 5. And doing a job like that, like now I have a lot more freedom, which is also nice because working with 4 of your siblings could be super, super stressful, especially being the youngest.
Oh, I can never.
Yeah. Especially being the youngest. Like it was almost like sometimes, you know, I was new and then they just felt like, oh, she's the little sister. We could be like so open and honest with her that they were like kind of hard on me to the point where I was like, God, like, I know this stage of the game isn't fulfilling and I'll get there. But then after doing the show, I was like, screw this. I'm going to do influencing. I'm going to figure out my health. I have time to do that. Like financially, I could do that on my own. And like, you guys can't say a damn word. So yeah, it's definitely been a massive transition from going from a 9 to 5 in Chicago with my whole family is to essentially like living my life and butterfly, doing as I please. Yeah.
So are you happy that you went on?
Yeah, you know what I always say. I would never regret it. I don't regret it. I don't regret any experience in life, though. Like whether it's dating someone, whether it's like traveling to a weird place, whether it was like an experience, I always try to view it in a positive light and say like whether it was good or bad, it was an experience and you learn from it.
So speaking of your, you never regret anything you did, but obviously it was, I feel like you had a very unique journey because prior to the show, you had actually met your ex, Peter, and then you guys, you know, you were obviously, you went home during the season and then you dated after the fact. Like, how do you wrap that around, you know, how do you think about that when you analyze how everything went down?
I mean, now I just kind of laugh at it. Like, listen to that, you know, it's not normal. It was like, what the hell happened? I don't even know. But it definitely went in a lot of different ways and twists and turns and
hey, what love story is normal?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're always going to go through tough times, but hey, like we had fun and again it was an experience and it was a lot of twists and turns, but it is what it is.
If you weren't seeing someone now, could you ever see yourself dating someone in the Bachelor franchise or never again with that show?
I never say like never to anyone. Like you genuinely don't know who you're going to like until you meet them in person is my thoughts. I don't know. Like there's been, for some reason, the way that I view guys in Bachelor Nation are like more like brothers.
I have said that myself before.
You know what I mean? Like even when I didn't even really know Clay and like Clay was in Chicago and I would like see him for the first time, I felt like one, I already knew him because we went through like the same experience, but two, it's just like, he just felt like a brother. Like I was inviting him to go to like Pilates and like, I was like, come to Pilates. And he's like, all right. But in terms of like all the other guys that I've met in Bachelor Nation, I just kind of feel that way about them now.
I definitely see that. So you just mentioned, hey, Clay, I invited you to Pilates, which by the way, Clay, if you're listening, your picture today, homie, phenomenal.
Mike always getting motivation from these two Bachelor Nation.
I hate when people don't show love to homies. Like, I show love to you, Kelly. I said your nails look awesome. Clay body is like 10 times 10 right now, right?
Yeah.
Which it always is.
You know, but Clay doesn't think that he's like bigger than the norm. Like this guy is probably like 6'4". And like when you're with him in public, he's like, he's just like huge, no,
he's a big
And human. He was telling me, okay, him and I went to, he moved to Miami for a little bit. And him and I like went on a walk and we like grabbed dinner. And the waiter was like asking Clay about like how much he benches and stuff like that. And Clay was like kind of confused.
How much do you bench? But,
I was like, do you not realize that like you are bigger than the average person? And he legit does not think that way. Like he just thinks he's like a normal average looking size dude.
I mean, you got to feel him from his perspective, though. He's been big all his life, and he was in the NFL for 9 years. And so most NFL players are also going to be big as well. So what he's accustomed to is him. You know, just big dudes. Well, Brian and I were going back and forth with this question. It was a hot take that we were going to use, but I want to ask you because you brought it up, you know, inviting Clay to do Pilates. Even though it wasn't a date, I want to make sure people know it wasn't a date.
Yeah.
Let's not start rumors now.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, I want to make sure, like, right? Clay probably wouldn't get mad. But Clay, the homie, I can say that. But if a dude invited you, let's say first date, to go work out with him, he's like, hey, Kelly, would you like to go to Pilates? How do you feel about that?
Depends on who the guy is. Like with
someone that's a brother, someone that you would consider.
The original question was, as a woman, would you be offended if a man asked you out on a first date to go to the gym?
Yeah, probably wouldn't be my like most ideal setting.
Like, what would your thought process be?
It's almost like they're friend zoning themselves there.
Huh. Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, interesting. I never looked at it that way.
Yeah. Because you're taking the romance out of it. And, like, the first date, like, there's got to be something where you could, like, I don't know. I just think going to the gym takes a little, like, it's like friend zoning yourself a bit.
What if it was, like, a little bit more intimate, like maybe, like, a hike or something? Or
Yeah. That would
you know
be
what
better.
I mean? Maybe he takes his shirt off. You're physically attracted to him. I don't know.
And then you could, like, sit down and, like, drink your water, but, like, talk. And,
have
like,
a picnic or something.
Say,
yeah.
Drink your water.
That's way better.
If it was Clay, he's definitely taking his shirt off, which I would do it, too, if I was him.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I would do it, too, if I was in his position. So I feel like I know the answer, but we still got to ask, if ever could you see yourself going on Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't know.
I feel like you just wake up in a more spur of the moment, like, hey, you know what?
You know what? I kind of am. That's exactly how I work. and it sounds so cheesy, but I'm more of the person where, like, if I'm supposed to do something, you'll just tell me. Like, I've gone through my entire life like that, and somehow, like, it works out. I don't really stress about things like that. I don't really think, like, people even ask me right now, they're like, what's your next move? Like, right now you're doing influencing stuff. I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe something will just come my way and I'll figure it out. But I've always lived that way, and it's just, like, always worked out.
I mean, you did mention that a lot of the Bachelor Nation guys are kind of like brothers. You consider them brothers. I mean, is there anybody out there that you would be interested in getting to know a little bit better, possibly on the beach? Like, anybody
okay,
that you've seen?
This is one issue I have with the Bachelor guys.
Ooh, okay.
So this is, like, a trend that I've noticed is these guys go on the show, and I'm going to be honest, like, being a girl and a guy in this scenario is a bit different. Like, usually a lot of girls that go on the show have, like, gotten attention their entire life from being, like, a standout woman. Okay.
I know what you're going
to say. I know, like, you too.
And these guys are just usually, like, normal ass dudes who girls aren't necessarily fighting over them, maybe, but, like, they're just not used to that attention. And then I think that when they get off the show, like, these girls are swarming, like, these fans to be with these guys that they just won, their ego goes through the roof, but their temptations, like, they can't resist holding back. It's, like, hard for them to be in relationships.
Is there anybody in particular that you're speaking of? Like, are there any names of somebody that fits that description?
I think there's a bunch that I can name.
Have you dated any in the past?
Name two.
Maybe.
Maybe, okay.
So are you saying you want to be like, bro, who cares if you're on a TV show? You still ain't shit.
they just need to be off the show for like a reasonable time to like get used to it. And then maybe like their ego will go down. But like the second they got off that show,
they think they're hot shit.
See, yeah. I've actually said that. I'll say it on air. I've said it off air. I've said they need to pick. I was talking about leads. I was like, you need to pick a lead that can actually get a girl, like without this like 90% steroid boost. And there was a reason I said it, because once they get off the show, it's the exact same thing that you said.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, damn, were you there? Like, are you centered in yourself enough to be able to handle this newfound fame per se? Because they always say, judge a man when he has nothing, judge a man when he has everything, judge a woman when her man has nothing. Right. And yeah. I completely agree with you there. And I'm a man that's from this show.
Yeah. 100%. I think it wouldn't have affected someone like Tyler Cameron as much.
Okay. So you're saying that since he is, you know, an attractive guy who probably could get, you know,
I think Tyler's probably been hooking up with hot chicks his whole life. So I don't think he needs to like go to the degree to be like hooking up with every little fan that's giving him attention. He's like in a whole nother caliber.
Gotcha.
Am I wrong on that?
No, I can totally see and understand where you're coming from.
I think guys, not just in The Bachelor, I think this was too hot to handle as well. Because some guys just ain't got no game whatsoever. And they personally don't look the best either, except to a small subgenre of people, which Tyler and I have had that conversation before.
And then they go on the show.
And then they go on the show, and then boom, you know, there's one subgenre of people like you exponentially. But outside of that genre of people, they don't know who you are. I was just NASCAR. I know not one of them NASCAR drivers, like not one. Yeah. But those girls that know them, it's different.
I'm just curious. I'm sure you've told this story before, but like what do you felt went wrong in your past relationship? Like what was the downfall of that relationship?
With me and Peter?
Yeah, with you and Peter.
You know what? I don't think it was like one specific thing. I think it was just a lot of little things. You know what? Peter and I had a lot of fun, but I don't know if like I looked up to him in a way that I wanted to like look up to like my spouse. Does that make sense?
Can you explain?
Yeah. Like I kind of have this with like my brothers and my dad, but like if I'm in a moment where I need some sound advice and I'm like, okay, who can I go to like advise me on this super important decision of my life? Like Peter was just like fun and games, you know. It was kind of just like I could go with him and have fun, but I just think I want more of like a man that I look up to.
I'm intrigued. I get you on that. So I mean, basically when you had these important life decisions to make, I mean, he just wasn't somebody that you could go to and like confide in him, but he would just not give you the advice that you were looking for. I guess
and again, like it wasn't big things. It was a lot of little things, but I guess I just didn't look up to Peter in the way that I have always hoped to look up to my husband.
What qualities did he look for?
Someone who's like super intelligent that could teach me things like something new every day. I really
aviation.
Peter actually was really smart when it came to aviation. He used to teach me a lot. Like when we would go and fly around or whatever, like Peter is smart, but I don't know. I think I just need someone a little bit more serious natured.
What was your relationship with Barb?
Barb and I were great. Barb actually loved me. And then towards the end, I think it just was getting a little bit uncomfortable, but you know, I have all the respect for her. I wish her well. You know, we don't really communicate, which is fine by me, but I hope both of them are doing well. I haven't heard from them. I haven't talked to them. I don't really know.
I got a question for you. I want to go back to what you were saying about, and I agree with you about, and you could have been talking about me. I'm still agree with it, even though that ain't me, I feel. But what advice do you have for guys and gals that are going on the show and are going on other shows particularly when it comes to love shows, and then they get off the show?
There's no advice I could really give to just, you know, you, I don't think you could ever, like, whatever is going to happen is going to happen, and it's out of your hands. So at the end of the day, just be yourself. Every scenario that you do could be turned into something. So at the end of the day, you could only be yourself and pray for the best.
And speaking of Paradise and The Bachelor and, you know, friends and brothers, we see you hanging out with a lot of girls from Bachelor Nation. Like, who from your season are you really close with?
Kelsey, definitely. You know, I talk to Kelsey every single day, and Victoria. I feel like us became just a little dangerous trio together.
Yeah, we saw you at Coachella.
Yeah, me, Kelsey, and Victoria are, we have a lot of fun together, and we have a lot of banter together that maybe not many people understand, but like when we're together, we're just constantly like giving each other crap or just like, I don't know, making fun of each other. But at the end of the day, like we all know we have each other's back. So it's a cool friendship to have because I know I can rely on them for just about everything.
What's up? I love that. I won't ask you what's next for Kelly, but I will ask you, here on Talking Now, we love to drop a gem and learn something from all of our guests. A gem is something that, you know, just something that a little, something that you live by, a quote that you heard that inspires you, something of that nature. So what gem would you have for us?
I was trying to come up with one. Oh, this one was kind of good. I said, a person in 2 minutes could make you feel what a person in 2 years couldn't. Time means nothing. Character does.
Facts.
Felt that one.
Preach. Love that. Well, Kelly, we appreciate having you on, and, you know, much success in your journey. Anything, all the things that you do, you know, I'm always here. Brian's always here to reach out to. You got plenty of people Absolutely. To reach out to in regards to your Lyme disease diagnosis. And I want to see you extremely happy with this new person that you got in your life.
Oh,
is there potential? I mean, could it possibly get serious here?
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Happy for you.
Yeah, and he's a great dude. Great dude. Some people have already called me out. Some people have like DM'd me and saw me on dates and all that stuff. But
he teaches you a lot of things and
very smart. Okay. Oh God, I wish I could tell you guys, but one of his nicknames. No, I can't even say that. Never mind.
Why not? Come on.
Let's just say he's a very like serious natured person, and I guess he's like known for that.
Can we expect a soft launch, hard launch soon, maybe?
You know what? He's an extremely, extremely private person. So I'm trying to just take it easy, see where things go.
I have a question for you.
I respect that. You go. I respect that.
Yeah.
So and now I'm looking from, because I have a couple of guys of mine. When you mentioned what you mentioned earlier, like I see a mirage right here. Mm-hmm. How do you feel if those same guys say, well, Brian, Mike, I heard Kelly come on the podcast and say a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of us just sleep around with all the fans, right? What about the girls that just go after the NFL players or go after these super rich guys?
Oh, God. It's not the same. Like, and I'll, by the way, like, I'll call out some of the guys that I'm, like, friends with. Like, if I'll hear rumors about them, I'll be like, what are you doing over there? Like, this or the other. But I mean, what, just because you're successful, like these girls might be going for successful guys, but that doesn't mean, that's not on the same level. Like if you told me like that all the girls were going around sleeping with all these fans, sure, that's on the same level, but you can't say just because they're dating NFL guys, NHL guys or whatever, that they're on the same level. Like they
leveled up apparently.
They leveled up. But not only that, like, you know, I think Kelsey's been pretty open about not having sex for 2 years, but if she goes and dates a guy that like might be known, I don't think that's the same degree as the guys going and sleeping with a bunch of fangirls.
Fair enough.
Is that what these single dudes are doing out there, Mike?
Okay. Now I do know, I also do know a bunch of girls in Bachelor Nation that aren't innocent themselves too, you know, that are like on the same savage level as a bunch of the guys.
I wasn't even gonna say it. I wasn't gonna say it as a dude because I don't want people coming at me, but you're a lady, you can say it.
Not at all. I know a lot of those stories too.
No, you know what, Mike, we were actually gonna have that as a hot topic. Like, is it, you know, we hear about the whole fuckboy, you know, stories and all that, but is it okay for a woman to go through that, through
a promiscuous I think that some girls are way worse than the
guys
are.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
They just keep it a little quieter, maybe?
I guess so. I mean, they're not my friends, but I do know the ones that are doing that. And it just gets messy and dramatic and I don't know. Not worth it.
I have so much. That would be offline conversation.
Go. Hit me.
Hit her with it, Mike. Come on.
That's offline conversation.
We're talking it out.
It's just because I like Kelly's mindset. Kelly don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah, she's very open. I'm appreciative of that.
Yeah, so she Kelly can give me to say some stuff because like she's going to speak about it. But no, I don't have nothing to say to that. I just agree with on both sides of the house. I'm glad you said it because I wasn't going to say the woman part.
You know,
Bachelor Nation people be coming at us.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama around it.
But it's true, though. It's definitely true, though. Do you feel...
And those DMs, from what I know, they work.
Yeah, for both sides?
They work.
Both men and women?
I'm sure for the guys. I don't know many of the guys, but I do know the girls, and it definitely works. Never mind.
Whoa. You just can't throw that name out and just not say anything. Hold on. You're saying like women sliding into a man's DMs or a man sliding into a woman's? Okay.
Yeah. Matt James was taking one of my girlfriend's phones and just like messing around and DMing people, and it was pretty successful. Yeah. We're like, we didn't even know this. And he's like, there you go.
There you go. I got it for you.
What? Tell me.
It's just so much.
I thought she was going somewhere totally different with that. Then I was like, okay, that's not.
No, I would have pressed
terrible.
End. I would press end right here. Matt James is definitely a solid wingman for sure on that. I think there's a double standard sometime. And then also with that being said, we had Rachel Lindsay on Brian's wife last week. I love what she said. She said, I don't really give a damn what you did before me. As long as when you're with me, you're amazing to me. I love that. But then also, there's like a whole nother side. Like, if I know your whole story, boo-boo, it don't look that good for you. You know,
What did Rachel say?
Basically, there was a question that if you were just meeting a guy for the first time, you were on the first date, and... Was it Mike? Was that he had cheated in a previous relationship?
Yeah, I believe that's what you said. Yeah.
So he basically told you that from Jump Street. Like, would that be a red flag for you? And would that be a deal breaker? Like, oh, he cheated on his ex. I don't want anything to do with him. How would you feel?
I don't think it would be a deal breaker, but I definitely think it would be a red flag.
I want to get your thoughts on this from a woman's perspective. Like, I saw some post the other day, like some guy was complaining about women that they're always saying, oh, there's no good men out there, but then yet they probably have like 1,000 dudes in their DMs that are left on unread or on read, and they don't even speak to them. And it's like these are possible eligible bachelors who are dying to take these women out, and they don't even get the time of day, and then they're saying that there's no good men out there. Can you talk on that?
You're not wrong. It's funny. I was at this wedding recently, and there was this guy that his way of hitting on me was one of the funniest thing. He's like, hey, listen. He's like, where are you these days? I was like, Miami. He was like, well, if you're ever looking for a mediocre life in Columbus, Ohio, you know who to call. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate that.
I appreciate that
selling point. So now he just like messages me all the time. And he's like, hey, look, like, again, like if Ohio, you know, resonates for you and just like maybe a kiddie pool in the backyard, like, you know, I got you covered.
I actually love that. I love that.
How many, on average, like especially maybe some of the women that are coming off the show, like how many
DMs from guys do you get on a daily or weekly basis? Just curious.
Not many. Like, again, I feel like you guys think it's a lot. It really isn't. Like, 95% of our following is females. And, like, what I try to do is, like, I'm not trying to relate to the guys. Like, I'm trying to relate to the girls. You know what I mean? So, I think, like, girls who are maybe, like, in bikinis, and, again, I'll throw those out every once in a while, but
it's necessary sometimes, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's as often as many people think it is. Like, I really don't. Well, maybe guys that, like, you get excited about.
Correct. So the guys that you actually read and respond to. Gotcha.
I don't know, because, like, sometimes.
See, I was speaking in general, like, even those, like, the ones that you're, like, not excited about. Like, how many
really,
of those?
Really, not that many. Okay, I promise it's not that many. Like, I know people think that we're getting DM'd galore and stuff like that, but we're really not. So,
well, no, you make a good point. Like, 95% of the followers are women. You said slide in, guys. She's an equestrian for Ralph Lauren. Kelly, it's great talking to you. Love to have you back on. Just can't wait to see all the beautiful things that you got to do in life.
And thank you for your honesty and, you know, your forwardness. Love it.
Yo, Kelly's always honest and has a thought to say, which is the best part.
Gets me in trouble sometimes, guys.
You almost got me in trouble. I ain't going to do it. It's all right. I'm not going to get in trouble with you. But thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a great one.
Bye, guys.
Wow, Mike. I absolutely loved Kelly on today. I thought she was very honest and refreshing. You know, she didn't hold back anything. You know, she pretty much answered anything we asked of her. And I thought she was a good sport. What do you think?
No, that's who Kelly is. Kelly's the same person off camera as she is on camera. She's very transparent, honest, will speak her feelings, whether you like them or not, and then be respectful even if you don't like them. That's Kelly, and I love it about her.
Love that. Love to get to know her a little bit better. And I hope all of you listeners out there like getting to know her a little bit better. And, of course, thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode.
And you know, we always love to hear your opinions, stories, and your insights. So please don't forget to like, comment, follow, and message us on social at Talking Out, B as in Bachelor and as a Nation on IG. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and listen to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And baby, don't DM me no more until you hit that subscribe. We love y'all.